I'd like to read some scriptures, the first in the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel, reading from chapter 6, towards the end of chapter 6. It's about page 1230, if you have the same kind of Bible that I do. Luke chapter 6, page 1230. Luke chapter 6, and reading from verse 46. Luke 6, verse 46. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Everyone that comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug and went deep and laid a foundation on the rock. But a great rain coming, the stream broke upon that house and could not shake it, for it had been founded on the rock. And he that has heard and not done is like a man who has built a house on the ground without a foundation, on which the stream broke, and immediately it fell, and the breach of that house was great." Hebrews, Epistle to the Hebrews in chapter 1, page 1446. Hebrews chapter 1, page 1446. Epistle to the Hebrews chapter 1. "God, having spoken in many ways, many parts, and in many ways, formerly to the fathers in the prophets, at the end of these days has spoken to us in the person of the Son, whom he has established heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the effulgence of his glory and the expression of his substance, and upholding all things by the word of his power, having made by himself the purification of sins, set himself down on the right hand of the greatness on high, taking a place by so much better than the angels, as he inherits a name more excellent than they. For to which of the angels said he ever, 'Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee,' and again, 'I will be to him for father, and he shall be to me for son.' And again, when he brings in the firstborn into the habitable world, he says, 'And let all God's angels worship him.' And as to the angels, he says, 'Who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire?' But as to the son, 'Thy throne, O God, is to the age of the age, and the scepter of uprightness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hast hated lawlessness. Therefore God, thy God, has anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy companions. And thou, in the beginning, Lord, hast founded the earth, and works of thy hands are the heavens. They shall perish, but thou continuest still. And they all shall grow old as a garment, and as a covering shalt thou roll them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But as to which of the angels said he ever, 'Sit at my right hand until I put thine enemies as footstools of thy feet.'" I'm going to stop there. And in Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, and reading towards the end of the chapter, verse 25, Hebrews 12, verse 25. "See that ye refuse not him that speaks. For if those did not escape who had refused him who uttered the oracles on earth, much more we who turn away from him who does so from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, 'Yet once will I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven.' But this 'yet once' signifies the removing of what is shaken as being made, that what is not shaken may remain. Wherefore let us, receiving a kingdom not to be shaken, have grace," and so on. I hope to link together some thoughts about being shaken or not in this gospel. I don't know if anyone here has ever had the experience of experiencing an earthquake. It was in this country, which is very unheard of because this country is not prone to earthquakes. 2008, I was living in Birmingham, and we're not used to earthquakes in this country. We don't habitually get them. We're not experienced with them. And I became aware that the house that I was in was shaking, and in fact, shaking so much I could see the doorways swaying and the walls moving. It wasn't a big earthquake, but it was big enough to make me really wonder, was I safe in the house in which I was living? Was it safe there? It was enough to shake the walls of this house, move everything in it. The house was shaken. I know that that's not necessarily the experience of everyone. It was noted in the media is the epicenter of that earthquake was actually just outside Birmingham. It was very unusual for the UK. Didn't expect it. There was no warning. We don't really get used to these sort of things in this country at all. And yet it happens. Things get shaken. We have earthquakes. That's just an earthquake in this world. But there's a more important question that is raised by the Word of God before us, the Bible. Are you founded in your soul such that when testing comes and things are shaken, will you find yourself like in Luke 6? Is your house, in a spiritual sense, not an actual sense, in a spiritual sense, is your house going to stand or will it fall when spiritual testing comes upon your soul? The reason that I ask this question is very important, because God has said in this very word before me that every one of us are sinners. Every single one of us have fallen short of the glory of God, condemned as sinners before a holy, righteous God. So we each one have the problem that by default, our default state is that we are building spiritually in this world on a very shaky foundation. Well, what foundation is that? I don't know. Everyone builds on their own foundations. Some people think their own righteousness will suffice, that they go through this life leading a good life. They haven't fallen foul of the law in any way, the law in this country. They maybe exceeded that law as well. That's not enough. Maybe you're building on the foundation of someone else. Maybe a great politician, some philosopher. Well, that's not enough either. God says that everyone has sinned and come short of his glory. So what foundation will you build on in this world? What foundation can you build on? That when the shaking, the testing happens, that it won't utterly collapse and the fall of that house be great. Well, that's a question that's answered in the Bible. The words here in Luke 6, this parable, it was told by the man Jesus. Now, history, people in this world acknowledge that this man lived 2,000 years ago. It's recorded in the Bible. And they recorded his death as well in this book before me. And to some people, that is the end. But to other people who believe in Jesus, it is not the end. It is merely the beginning, because Jesus came here for a purpose. It says that. He says it himself, and it's recorded for us in the scriptures that Jesus came here for a purpose. And that was to show us the love of God. He was the Word. John's Gospel speaks of Jesus as the Word of God, establishing an actual person in this world who came in to fully explain God's mind towards us. And in the beginning of Hebrews, it puts it, God having spoken in many parts and in many ways formerly to the fathers and the prophets, at the end of these days has spoken to us in the person of the Son. And then in the Hebrews 1 account, I had to read the whole chapter because it goes on so powerfully to explain the character of the person who walked in this world 2,000 years ago, who is utterly perfect before God. Now, if you've any understanding of the human condition, you'll look at me and go, there was a perfect man in this world? Rubbish. But there was one perfect man. None of us are perfect. Every one of us falls short, probably in many ways. I'm a sinner too, just as much as anyone in this room. And yet we find, amazingly, that the Almighty God, against whom we've sinned and offended, he loves us. And even when sin came in the very beginning, God in his word said that there will be a solution. And everything in the Old Testament looks forward to that solution. And we find the incoming of Jesus, as we have here in Hebrews. Angels acknowledged it, the incoming of a child into this world when he was born. It had to be acknowledged because of who he was. His name even, Jesus, means God the Savior, came in with a purpose to save his people from their sins. That was initially for the Jews. But in God's mercy, because the Jews rejected him, that grace now extends to everyone in this world, not even just Jews, everyone. Not necessarily of the children of Abraham, the children of Isaac, and children of Jacob, but everyone in this world has the opportunity to come to Jesus and be saved. In California, There's a fault line that runs right the way through the country from north to south called the San Andreas Fault. And there's very frequent earthquakes in California. It's a problem for them. So their building code includes lots of differences to this country to account for the factor of earthquakes. And there was quite a few years ago, some men decided that they'd like to build a very large tower. And because of the risk of earthquakes, they'd like to make it earthquake-proof. They designed it, and they built a plate, a big concrete structure at the bottom that could slide sideways ever so slightly. And they built piles that were driven into the earth for it to rest on. And they designed it in such a way they believed it to be earthquake-proof. And it still stands today. But the message of the scriptures, when you come to the end of Hebrews, is a quote from Haggai. And it's about how God is going to shake things. God is going to shake this world. So if ever you had an outstanding problem at that point, it will be too late because this world will be shaken and such that everything will come tumbling down. And I mean physically as well as morally and spiritually in this world. It will be challenged and tested by God and found wanting. And the question will be then, friend, where do you stand before God? The Almighty God who is testing this work and finding it lacking, it will come tumbling down. Where will you stand when you're shaken by the Almighty God? It says not just even the earth. It says here, whose voice... whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once will I shake not only the earth, but also the heavens, the stars, everything we see. The power of God is going out in this world, and one day will be seen in judgment. Where will you stand? Will you be shaken? Or, if you read down the Hebrews account here, it says, but this yet once signifies the removing of what is shaken as being made, that what is not shaken may remain. We go back to Hebrews 1. We find out that in verse 10, thou in the beginning, Lord, hast founded the earth, and works of thy hands are the heavens. They shall perish. This world is ending. But thou continuest still, and they all shall grow old as a garment, and as a covering shalt thou roll them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same. God remains, unshaken, impossible to shake, founded on that rock which cannot move. That was what the Lord was driving at in his parable in Luke 6. Have you founded your life on the Word, the person of the Lord Jesus, God's own Son? Is your faith placed in him as the only thing that cannot be shaken in this world, in this spiritual scene, in the heavens? The one thing that cannot be shaken is God's Word, which stands for all eternity and is presented to us in the person of the Lord Jesus himself, as we see of in John 1, that's how it is accounted for, and also in Hebrews. God spoken to us in the person of the Son, whom he has established heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. That is God's love to us in this gospel message, dear friend. That God has established his own Son as the way of escape, the way of salvation for every person, every human in this world who has faith in Jesus will escape the shaking. And then you look into the detail of the Word of God and you find out how it is that that comes about. How it is that God, you can be saved through Jesus, the Son of God. And you find that it cost my Savior his life on a cross just outside Jerusalem. He was hung up on a tree, as it says. And you think, well, yeah, okay, you read the account of his trial in the Bible. You read the account of the men who accused him of all sorts of things but couldn't agree on an accusation against Jesus because he was perfect. Then you come to the fact that essentially they delivered him up to Pilate and said, well, if we hadn't got an accusation against him, we wouldn't have given him to you to execute. They had no reason to kill Jesus, and yet he was hung up on a tree. The perfect Son of God, the one who came here to save, and men killed him. And yet did God wipe the scene in judgment, say, you've touched my son, you've killed him, that's it, that's the end. No, friend. The love of God in that moment was that Jesus died for you, that you might be saved. Believing in him provides you way into salvation and life everlasting, as it speaks of in John's Gospel. God, in 3 hours of darkness while Jesus was hanging on that tree, God poured out his judgment for sin and sins upon the head of Jesus, and Jesus bore it all. In the garden, the night before these things happened, he prayed. Lord Jesus, my Savior, prayed, saying, if it be thy will, may this cup be taken from me, but not my will, but thine be done. I've got the word slightly wrong, but the effect is that he accepted what was poured out upon him at the hands of God in love for you and I. And if you believe in Jesus, you find you can be saved, forgiven. We read in our chapter this afternoon about Jesus being able to forgive sins. Who is able to forgive sins except God alone? Because it's to him that the offense is, and therefore it's only God that can forgive. But if you look at the blood that was poured out from that cross when the Roman soldier pierced the side of Jesus, that blood, the evidence of the life given up of my Savior Jesus, that blood washes from every sin. That's what the scriptures say. You know, men that seek to live on their own righteousness, the Bible says our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. You can't achieve your own salvation. And it means you can't look to another either, unless it's the one Jesus, the one Savior that God has sent into this world. Do you know, God didn't have to send his Son into this world. There's nothing in the law that required God to send in a Savior. And it didn't even require him to send in his own Son. But yet, God did it because he loves every single one of us, wants us to be saved. God does not desire the death of a sinner. It says that specifically in the scriptures. There is a way of salvation. And in God's love, it's open to all. Free. The grace of our God and Father, our God, in what he's done at the cross, is amazing. And Hebrews says, do not neglect so great a salvation. In chapter 2, I'll read it properly. Verse 3 of chapter 2 of Hebrews. How shall we escape if we have been negligent of so great salvation, which, having had its commencement in being spoken of by the Lord, has been confirmed to us by those who have heard, God bearing besides witness with them to it, both by signs and wonders and various acts of power and distributions of the Holy Spirit according to his will. When your house is shaken, it makes you wonder what you can trust in. When you stand in a house that's shaking, it makes you wonder what you really can trust in. The man of Hebrews 1, as described here, is someone that you can put your faith and trust in. Someone that is lasting forever, has life eternal in himself. That's the man I'm trusting in. There's no one else in this world that can give you life eternal. And that's God's gift. Not merely that you might be saved, that you might enter into the greatness of the things that he has in mind for you. That you might even be able to enter his presence on the basis of what was done at Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago by God's own Son. And you look at this. Things that get shaken. In Hebrews 1, there is nothing here that suggests that there's in any way something in Jesus that can be shaken. In Jesus, the Word of God, which stands for all eternity, nothing can be shaken for the one that stands in Jesus. If you have founded your life in Jesus, if you said to Jesus, I believe in what you have done at Calvary's cross. I believe in you as the Son of God. Your life is founded on that rock and cannot be shaken. That is the assurance of the gospel message, that one transaction with the Savior Jesus and you are saved and going to heaven. Maybe we lose the joy of that salvation, friend, and that's a challenge to each one of us. Maybe we struggle with the problems of this world and sin gets us down. But nevertheless, God in Jesus has the power to forgive you and to save you for all eternity. And he wants you to enjoy it even now. Might have some taste of what it is to understand something of this life eternal. And John 17 tells us that life eternal is knowing God himself, having a living relationship with God through Jesus in what he has done at Calvary's cross. I just cannot, really, in some ways, it's so amazing what God has done in love towards each one of us. None of us deserve this either. We've offended God in being sinners. And yet God has sent his own son as the sacrifice for sins. We have the assurance also that what was done at Calvary's cross doesn't need to be added to, and it cannot be taken away from. The words for Jesus were, "It is finished. Nothing left to do. All you need to do is believe." What a message. Doesn't cost something. You can stand when things are shaking around you and know that what you're standing on, the work of Jesus, is solid, secure, cannot be shaken. That's the immense power of God in the gospel message to each one of us. When your house is shaking, and when men tell you that they can build things that won't ever fall down, they will fall down. But when your house is shaking, you can know that if your feet are standing on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. And you will be passing from life into eternity, the presence of God forever. Over and against that, there is the other side. God did create a place called hell, a place, lake of fire, for the devil and his angels. It wasn't intended for people, for men, mankind. And yet, unfortunately, if you neglect this so great salvation, that will be the end place for your soul. Utter destruction. Perish is the word that's used in the Bible. Not just die, perish, destruction. But that is not God's mind, and that is why he sent Jesus. If there was another way to do it, it would have been done. But no, God gave his own son. Jesus came here, loved us, stayed on that cross for us, and that if you believe in him, you get the joy of that salvation, the joy of God's salvation. The scriptures say salvation lies in none other. There's all sorts of men that have said things, made out that they might not be shaken. And they've all been shaken and fallen. One man hasn't. Jesus Christ himself, my Saviour. That's who I present to you in the gospel tonight. None other. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Saviour for this world. Believe in him. And may the Lord bless the word for his name's sake.